Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Zion Amud Aleph, two lines down, Tanu Rabbanan. Here we have a bright that's similar to our Mishnah, lays out a number of Roshei Shanim that there are throughout the year. Bechad Benisan, on the first day of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Chodoshim, that's the beginning of the year for the months, Li'iburim, for the leap years, Ulu Trumat Shkalim, and for the new fiscal year in the Mikdash, Ve'eshomim Af L'Schirut Batim, and some people say it's also the beginning of the year for rentals. L'chodoshim minola. Now the Gemara wants to go through each one of these, understand where they came from, and if they're not mentioned in our Mishnah, then why did our Mishnah, or our Tana of our Mishnah, choose not to mention them? So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that Echad b'Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'chodoshim? Dichtiv, it's very straightforward. The Pasuk in Shmot says, Achodosh hazeh lachem rosh chodoshim rishon hu lachem l'chodshei hashana. And it says with regards to that first month, Shamor et Chodesh Aviv. You have to keep this holiday of Yitziat Mitzrayim of Chag HaMatzot during the springtime. Eizu Chodesh Shesh Bo Aviv, which is the month in which there is Aviv. Aviomer ze Nisan. That is Nisan. So the definition or how we know how the months move is based on the fact that the Torah lays out for us that the month that surrounds Pesach is the first month of the year. When is that first month? That is during the Aviv. That is during the springtime. So by correlating those two pieces of information, that it's the springtime and that the first month revolves around Yitziat Mitzrayim, so the Gemara concludes from that that it must be that we're speaking about Nisan. Now, the idea of Aviv, which is Shesh Bo Aviv Shatua Bechira Bo Liot Mevushelet B'Gemar Bishula. So the definition of Aviv is, this is the time period when, and so the earliest of the crops will start to ripen in this month. So that, the Gemara says, is correlated with Nisan. So the Gemara says, Vikari Le Rishon, and based on that, we have in the pasuk before that calls it the first month. So therefore we see that if it's the first month, then that will set the tone for the rest of the year. Where it says, Veima Iyar. How do you know it's not Isan and not Iyar? So where it says, Bina Aviv Veleka. Because you need to be in the springtime and Iyar is already too late to be called the springtime. Veima Adar. Why don't you say that it's Adar? Where it says, Bina Rov Aviv Veleka. Now here the Gemara says something which isn't so clear because it's not clearly defined in the Pasuk and it's not obvious. Which is that in Adar, you do still have some early crops that start to ripen and reach their full maturation in the point of Adar. You're right that the majority of crops don't do that during Adar, but there are still items that do it during Adar. So Gemara says you could call Adar Aviv as well, and therefore the first month could be Adar or the first month could be Nisan. So Gemara's answer is Rov Aviv. No, when it says Aviv, it's going to be the month that has the majority of the crops reaching that point of maturation or the start of maturation during that month. That is the month of Nisan. Where it says, Mide Rov Aviv Tiv? That's not what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Aviv, it doesn't say Rov Aviv. So maybe it's Adar, maybe it's Nisan. El Amar of Chista Mehachacha. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try from a different angle. Ach, b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i, ba'aspechem et tvuat aretz. So we're talking about Sukkot. Sukkot is in the seventh month. And when is the seventh month? When you gather in the crops from the fields. Ezu Chodesh Yesh Bo Asifa, which is the month in which you gather in the crops. Avi Omer Zet Tishrei. That's Tishrei. So if Tishrei is the seventh month, then Nisan becomes the first month just by working your way backwards. Vakar Gari Le Shvi'i. So then you realize if that's the seventh, then Nisan is the first. Veima Mar Cheshvan. Why don't you say that it is Cheshvan? Umay Shvi'i, Shvi'i Li Iyar. And it's the seventh month from Iyar. Where it says, Be'in an Asif Veleka. That you can't say because you need Chag HaAsif. Asif means that you're gathering in the crops. And that's not true in Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is already the planting of the new season. It's when it's going to rain. The rain started in Mar Cheshvan and the seeds, and you plow the fields already at that time. So the Gemara says again, Ve'ima Elul. What about Elul? Umay Shvi'i Shvi'i La'adar. And it'll be the seventh month after Adar. It says, Be'ina Rov Asif Veleka. So again, here, the Gemara entertains the possibility that during Elul, there is some Asif. The majority of the Asif is done during Tishrei before the rainy season, but some of it already starts in Elul. So the Gemara answers the same way it did before with Aviv, which is we need the month in which the Rov of the Asif is done, and that is Tishrei and not Elul. Gemara asks the same question again, which is, Mide Rov Asif Ktiv. Where does it say Rova Sif? It just says a Sif, and Elul will be equally qualified. So what the Gemara here is unsure of at this point is Adar the first month, or is Nisan the first month? And the same problem will manifest itself also with the seventh month, which is the seventh month Elul if Adar was the first month, or is the seventh month Tishrei if Nisan was the first month? So Ela Amar Ravina Davar Zeh Mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu. We don't have any psukim in the Torah that can identify us clearly and positively that Nisan is the first month of the year. Midivrei Kabbalah Lamadnu. But if you look in the Navi and if you look in the Ketuvim, then it becomes very clear that that is the case. Now the reason is because at this point in the Navi, you're going to have the names of the Babylonian months the way that we have them today: Tishrei, Cheshvan, in the Babylonian Persian months, the ones that were adopted by the Jews. And on top of that, you also have an enumeration, what month of the year it is. So at that point, you have a correlation between the name of the month and the number of the month. Once you do that, you can clearly identify where the year begins. And the Gemara is going to bring a series of psukim where, again, these are late Nevi'im, very late Nevi'im, or into the Ketuvim, that have psukim that correlate between the month and the date. Now, as Tosafot points out over here, the only way you can learn this is, unless you know for sure what the order of the months is, then just because you know the name of the month and the number of the month doesn't tell you anything, because you have to correlate all the months. So in order for this all to work, we have to assume that they knew the months in order, which was, you know, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, So on and so forth, as they went around the year until they reached Elul, all of those were in order. And if that's the case, then when you have the numbers, you can work with those months and understand where it starts and where it ends, or what's considered to be the first month. Because otherwise, Vachimar B'Yushalmi, Shemot HaChodeshim Alu B'Yadami Bavel. Yushalmi says that when Bnei Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael, the names of the months they brought up from Bavel, which is true, the names of the months in the Hebrew calendar now are Babylonian Persian names. They're not Hebrew names at all. They have nothing to do with anything in Judaism, yet they were adopted. The Ramban al Torah by Parshat Yitro, when he talks about Zechor Yom HaShabbat HaKodesho, over there when he discusses the idea of using other days to remember a day, for instance, Shabbat, when we call it the days of the week, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, that's a reference to the day of Shabbat, because it's telling us the number of the week and we're counting towards a certain day. When we say the Shir Shalom every day, we reference that relative to Shabbat. So Shabbat becomes the focus of the week by the way that we count the numbers. So the Ramban over there says that the reason that they took the Babylonian names when they came out of Babel was because that was the most recent Geula. So when we left Mitzrayim, the leaving from Mitzrayim was the most important Geula, most important event. Therefore, the Chodoshim were named or numbered based on that Geula, with the first month being Nisan, because that was the first month from Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so on and so forth. Those months are enumerated relative to Yitziat Mitzrayim. Now, what the names of the months were is not clear. We have some in the Nevi'im, like in Sefer Melachim, by Shlomo Melech, we had Chodesh Ziv. We have some of the names that we had in terms of the Jewish calendar prior to what we have today in the modern era. But the Ramban says is once you had Geula from Bavel, when they returned from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, they adopted the names of Bavel in order to remember it. Just like by Yitziat Mitzrayim, when we enumerated the months based on the number of months they were away from Yitziat Mitzrayim, therefore we knew that Mitzrayim was the central focus. That was the thing that we were remembering. So now, when we left Bavel, how do we remember that that was the most recent Geula? We use the months of the year based on the Babylonian Persian calendar. That reminds us that that was the most recent Geula. The Ramban implies there that in the Geula, Latid Lavo, when we have the Geula from this long Galut, that we would also adopt the names of the months of the year. And therefore, we would have a calendar that included January, February, March, so on and so forth, because that would remind us of the Geula. And the names of the months would once again change. But what Tosafot points out over here is that it's clear that you have to have a correlation between the numbers and the months of the year. Unless you know the calendar for sure, I mean the order of the months of the year, then you can have an association that we're going to see in the psukim here. And that is the first pasuk that's brought by Ravina, which is, Be'oyom esrim v'arba l'shtei asar chodesh hu chodesh shvat. So it's on the 24th of the 11th month. Now, in Sefer Dvarim, we know that Moshe's speech begins on the 11th month, but it doesn't tell us the name of the month. But here it says, hu chodesh shvat. So that is the month of Shvat. So here we have a correlation between the 11th month and Shvat. Rabba v'arba'ul amari hocha, we have a pasuk in Esther, which is, Te'lakach Esther la melech, Achashverosh el Beit Malchuto b'chodesh ha'asiri hu chodesh Tevet, in the 10th month, which is Tevet. Rav Gana amar mi'ocha barba'al ha'chodesh ha'tishi'i b'kislev, on the 4th of the 9th month, which is Kislev. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar mi'ocha v'yikaru sofrei ha'melech v'etahi b'chodesh ha'shilishi hu chodesh Sivan. Again, from Esther, we have they read to the king on the 3rd month, which is Chodesh Sivan. Rav Ashi amar mi'ocha, again from the Megillah, Hipil Pur Hu Agural Lifnei Haman Miyom Liyomi Mechodesh Lechodesh Shneim Asar Hu Chodesh Adar. So when he threw the lots, it came out to be the 12th month, which was Adar. In the 1st month, which is Chodesh Nisan, again from the Megillah. So you can see all the references here are either from Esther, Megillat Esther in the Ketuvim, or from Zechariah, because Zechariah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, are very late Nevi'im in the time of the rebuilding or the renewal of the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael when they left Babel and they began to build the second Bayit. So because of that, their Nevu'ot also include the months based on the Persian names, and therefore we can correlate between the numbers and the names. Bekulu, my time alo, Amri, Mihai. Why didn't all of them pick this from Bechodesh Rishon or Chodesh Nisan? Dilma my Rishon the Milte, because that's the most obvious. If you can find the first month and it's called Nisan, then you have your biggest solution. Why do all of them go after numbers that were other than one that correlate with a month? Just use the one that was brought here at the end by Ibayiteima, that some say that it comes out of this pasuk. So why did they reject that? Because Rishon here doesn't have to necessarily be referring to the month. It could be the Rishon, the beginning of the incident, beginning of the hatching of the plan. But Dana Didan, Bishanim Kamari, Bechodeshim Lo Kamari, Ar Tano. Why didn't he mention this? When he mentioned all the things that happened on Chad Ben Nisan, he doesn't mention the Chodeshim. That's not one of the items mentioned in our Mishnah. So my answer is that Ar Tano deals with years, he's not dealing with months. That's not totally true, because he does mention the Regalim. And the Regalim are not years either. The Regalim are in a single year, and it's a Rosh Hashanah, and we saw it was during the middle of the month. So that's what it says, it's still not a month. It's not by the months of the year, it's still something that's bigger than that or a bigger counting. And that's why our Tana did not put this in our Mishnah. Uli Iburim. It's the Rosh Hashanah for Ibur for setting the leap year. Liburim in Nisan Maninan? Is it really true that we set leap years from Nisan? Vatanya. Don't we have a Braita? Ein Ma'brim Hashanah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to make the leap year prior to Rosh Hashanah. Meaning prior to Tishrei, you can't establish that year is a leap year because people come to forget it's too far in advance. Vimi brua inu muberet. And even if they go ahead and they say this year, this upcoming year is going to be an Uber year, we don't listen. It has to be done after Rosh Hashanah. Aval mipnei adachak ma'brim oto achar Rosh Hashanah miyad. If they're in a desperate need and they need to do it, either because of the agricultural situation or because of the pressure that they won't be able to meet again because of gzeirot of the Amim, and therefore they can't bring a Beit Din together to be Ma'abed HaKodesh, or the Nasi has to travel, and the Nasi needs to give approval for the calendar to have a leap year, so then they can do it immediately after Rosh Hashanah. Vafa Begain, Emar Brim El Adar. And when we do make it a leap year, the only month that's added is the last month of the year, which is Adar. That's why we only have Adar Aleph Adar Sheni. That's the only way we create a leap year, that's the only month you can add. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my Iburin. So what does it mean, Iburim, over here? We just established that you can't make the leap year back in Nisan. So what does it mean that it's Rosh Hashanah for the Iburim? So it's Afsakat Iburim. That's the tail end of the Ibur. You may not make it a leap year once Nisan enters. That's not. Because we have a Mishnah in Idiot. Hein Heidu. They were Me'id, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Papayos. Shema'brim Hashanah Kol Adar. You're allowed to make the year a leap year all through the month of Adar. Shayu Omrim Ad Purim. Because they used to say that you can only do it until Purim. My time of demand Amar ad Purim. What's the reasoning behind those that say that you can only make a leap year up until Purim? Came in Damar Mar, since we have a principle, Shualim b'ilchota Pesach, kodem the Pesach 30 yom, since you begin to engage in the lachota Pesach 30 days before, then that's on Purim. So once you hit Purim, they've already begun to speak about the issues of Pesach. If you go ahead now and you make it into an Iba year and you push out the year again, people are going to come to me, Atali Zuzule Bechomets. They're going to say, what do you mean? They talk about Pesach, then it's not Pesach, it is Pesach. So once you begin to engage in the issues of Pesach, then Pesach's already on people's minds. You can't push it out. Until they reach that point, you can push it out because they still have yet to engage in Pesach. And when you push it out, they're not going to be thinking, oh, what happened here? V'idach, what about the others that believe that you can do it until the end of Adar? They understood that when it comes to making a leap year, it has to do with the calculations and figuring out the calculations. They weren't able to get to the proper calculation, or they didn't realize the calculation until now. And therefore, they made the Hebrew year late in the season. But they'll understand that. People can understand when you tell them that it was a Hebrew year because these considerations came up. Or, we didn't have a chance to meet before this. And then we make it Hebrew year, even after Purim. They'll know that they postponed Pesach. That's fine. They're not going to be mezalzel in Pesach. V'tana didan. Our Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta, how come it doesn't mention that it's Rosh Hashanah, the Iburim? Batzchala kamayri, bafsaka lo kamayri. Our Mishnah deals with beginnings, not ends. So it turns out here that it's a Rosh Hashanah Liburim in terms of its being an end. That is, the last time you can make something into a leap year is at Adar. Once you cross into Nisan, you can no longer make it into a leap year. So our Mishnah is not dealing with that. Our Mishnah is dealing with things that begin on that date, not things that end on that date. Whereas the Bright is also dealing with things that end on that date. Happens to be interesting, the Gemara in Pesachim, which we saw together, that's one of the things that with Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that the Chachamim were not happy that he did, was that he was Ma'aber, Nisan bin Nisan. It says over there that he was Ma'aber in Nisan. Gemara says, like we said here in our Gemara, that you're not allowed to be Ma'aber the year once you go into Nisan. But, so how could it be that he was Ma'aber the year in Nisan? So the Gemara says he actually did it on the 30th of Adar. It was the 30th day of Adar, it was still Adar, and he was Ma'aber the year. Chachamim say you're not allowed to do that, because the 30th day of a month has the opportunity to be the first of the next month or the last day of the previous month. I mean, depending if it's a Malay or Chaser, the 30th day is really a transition day, which could be part of the previous month or could be part of the new month. Since the 30th could have been Nisan, the Chachamim say you can no longer be Ma'aber the year. Despite that fact, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was Ma'aber the year, the Navi, when it speaks about this, explains what his rationale was, that the people were not Tameh, they were not Tahor, there was too much Tumah, they weren't going to be ready in time, and that's why he postponed Pesach by making it into a leap year, adding a month into the calendar. But that revolves around this issue about when's the termination or the last point in which you can make something into a leap year. U'trumat Shkalim, it's a new fiscal year in the Mikdash. We learned that in Masechet Shkalim. Minolan, how do we know that's the case? Amar Rabbi Shaya, Amar Gra, Zot Olat Chodesh Bichodsho Lichodshei Hashana. Amra Torah Chadesh Vahavei Korban. Make the new thing and then bring the Korban. Mitruma Chadasha. And that you bring from the Mitruma Chadasha, as Rashi points out, it's from the excess words in that pasuk, which is Zot Olat Chodesh Bichodsho Lichodshei Hashana. The word Chadash Chodesh plays on itself numerous times, so there's a certain amount of extraneous wording in the word Chodesh or Chadash, and there from there they learn that the Olat HaChodesh comes from the Chadash, from the new items on that day. So what day is that? That's Rosh Chodesh on Nisan, when they start the new fiscal year. B'gamrei Shana Minisan. And how do we know? Okay, that just teaches you that it has to be on a Rosh Chodesh. How do you know that that Rosh Chodesh is Nisan? We learn it out from Gzeir Shavo of Shana Shana. Dichtiv, because it says, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshi HaShana. The puzzle that we quoted up above, that the first of the month is Nisan. So there it says Hashana. And over here it says Hashana. So that Gezer Shova teaches us, just like there it's the first of Nisan, so too over here it's the first of Nisan. Where it says, Ligmar Shana Shana Mitishrei. Why don't we have a Gezer Shova of Shana Shana Titishrei? Dichtiv, because it says in Sefer Devarim, Rishit Hashana Ad Acharit Shana. So the Gemara later on in this Masechta will darshan from that Pasuk, which is that Bereshit Hashana, it's already Nikva Mashitia Bachrita. On the first beginning of the year, it's already kavua what will happen at the end of the year, implying that that is Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's very interesting is that if you look at that pasuk in Sefer Devarim, the word Tishrei is never mentioned. As I mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta, the word Rosh Hashanah, or the fact that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, is not anywhere in the Torah or in Tanakh. And over here, the Gemara takes it for a given. Oh, because Mereshit Hashanah, we're doresh that that has to do with Tishrei, therefore we're going to make a Gezer Shavu. It's an interesting Gezer Shavu in that way. It says, Danim Shana, Sheishima Chodoshim, Mishana, Sheishima Chodoshim. The pasuk that we brought about Nisan, about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, over there, it has both Shana in correlation with Chodoshim, or in conjunction with Chodoshim. So too, the pasuk by the Korban of the Korbanei Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, there too, the word Shana and Chodesh are both mentioned. Vis-a-vis, or in contrast to, the pasuk from Sefer Devarim, which only talks about years and doesn't talk about months at all. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Korbanot Tzibur Abayim Be'achad B'Nisan, Mitzvah Lavim Min HaChadash. The best thing, or Lechatchila, is that you bring it from the new Truma, from the new shkolim, it begins a new fiscal year. But if they already brought, it still from the last year's shkolim, from the previous fiscal year, then you're yotze b'di'avad, ela shechizer mitzvah. You just gave up a mitzvah. I mean, you didn't do the best thing. You gave up the opportunity to do it according to the pasuk or the drasha in the pasuk that chadesh v'avei korban, bring something new at the beginning of the chodesh. Tanya namihochi, we have a brayta that supports that contention, which is korbanot tzibur abayim mechad benisan mitzvah la'avi min hachadash. The proper thing to do, the chatchila thing to do, is to bring him from the new. But if you brought from the older stuff, then it's fine. Ela shechitzer mitzvah, you just lost out on doing that mitzvah, that doing it lechatchila. V'yachid shinadev mishelo k'sherim bilvad shimserim letzibur. Individual who donates objects to the mikdash to be used in the avodah or to be used for the tzibur, generally those things have to be purchased with the shkalim so that all of Klal Yisrael has a portion in it. So we won't let individuals give it, because if individuals give it, then it'll be theirs and not all of the tzibur's. So the condition for them to give or grant things to the tzibur is that they give it over to the tzibur. So once they grant ownership to the tzibur, it's as if the whole tzibur brought it. Gemara says, pshita. Once you do that, of course you can do that. So ma'u detema, what I've thought, lechush, shema lo, yimserem le tzibur yafe yafe. Because maybe they won't give them over to the tzibur. They won't, with a full heart, donate it to the tzibur. So that might be the havamina kamash balon, that we don't worry about that. So therefore, you are allowed to give as an individual towards the korbanot tzibur, or for the needs of the tzibur, as long as you give it over to the possession of the tzibur. Betane didan, again, in our Mishnah, at the beginning of Masechta, he doesn't mention this issue of the new fiscal year in the Mikdash. So, why is that? So it says, kevin diktani im hevi yatsa lo psigale. Because that is not a full stop. That Rosh Hashanah is a lechatchila, which is that you should bring from the new shkalim, you should bring from the new fiscal budget. But if you brought from the old one, you're still yotze. So since it's not a full stop, our Tana doesn't mention it because he's talking about things that are absolute. And this is not something that is absolute. And there's some that say that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also Rosh Hashanah for rentals. Tan Rabbanan, hamaskir bayit lechaveiro l'shana. Person who rents to his friend a house for a year. Monesh 12 chodesh miyom liyom. He tracks it based on 12 months from the day that he rented it to him, day to day, meaning that the same date the following year, he's done. B'mamar l'shana zu, if he says for this year, afilu omad elo b'achad b'adar, even if he's only there on the first of Adar, kevan shigiyo yom echad b'nisan alta lo shana, that's the end of the year. So afilu l'man damar yom echad b'shana chashuv shana, even according to the one who says, and we mentioned this earlier in the Masechta, that one day in the year is classified like a full year, in terms of counting the reigns of the kings, we said if it was one day into the year, it counts as a year of his reign. Nevertheless, shiny hoch over here, it's not the case. The lo torah chinish the megar beta the batzer mitlatin yomim. Nobody goes through the trouble of trying to find a place and renting a place unless they're going to be there for a minimum of 30 days. So since you're going to be there for a minimum of 30 days, you have to have at least 30 days to qualify as lishana zu. So what the breita is suggesting over here is that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the cutoff for lishana zu. If you go into a rental and you say, I'm taking it for this year means until the termination of this year. When does the year terminate? At the end of Adar. So that Braita tells us that as long as you're in it by the first of Adar, then you're out of it by the first of Nisan, because then you had a full month. As long as you have a full month, that's considered or classified to be a year. Obviously, if you're earlier than that, then it's certainly classified as a year. If you do it in the middle of Adar and you say Lashana Zu, then you actually get the subsequent year, because nobody would do it for less than 30 days. So Lashana Zu means the upcoming year, not the year that you are currently in, and you would get it till the following Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or till the following Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Gemara says, Vema Tishrei. Why or how do you know that the rental of houses terminates on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Where do you get that idea that when people say Lashana Zu for this year, they mean until Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Why don't you say it means until the beginning of the year, like we know as Rosh Hashanah, until Tishrei time? In general, when people rent houses, they intend to stay it for the entire winter. Since the winter time is a difficult time to move with the rain and the mud, so people, when they rent something, they intend to be there for the entirety of the winter. So if you're going to be there for the entirety of the winter, then the end of the winter is when Nisan comes around, when the Chodesh Aviv comes around. So the Shana Zu, to incorporate this idea that people always rent for the winter, would include until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Tanakama de Braito. What about the Tanakama? This was the Yesh Omrim in the Braito. The Tanakama did not accept this. Tana Didan, and our Tana, who doesn't mention this also, that it's Achad ben Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah for Schirut, B'nisan nami mishkach shchiach kitrei. Because even in Nisan, there are plenty of clouds that come around and rain, and we saw this year even into Iyar, we had a massive thunderstorm that was greater than some of the rain that we see in the winter. So there is times when the rain persists even into the Aviv here in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you can't say that the Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Gabei Schirut, because the winter time persists. The winter time persists, and you said that when people rent, they rent for the entirety of the winter, that would go beyond that. So that certainly can't be the cutoff that people think of when they talk about the Shana Zu. So that's why the Tanakama of the Breita, as well as the Tana of our Mishnah, did not include it in the list. Right now, the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says, Bechad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah Maser Be'ema. On the first day of Be'elul, it is Rosh Hashanah from Maser Be'ema, in terms of taking the 10 Be'emot that are born into your flocks, and putting them through the gate, counting them, and every 10th one is Kodesh Lashem. So that Maser Be'ema terminates the year at Rosh Chodesh Elul, and that is Rosh Hashanah for Maser Be'ema. Gemara will discuss in tomorrow's daf why that is. But right now we're just trying to ascertain which Tana it is. Mani, who's the author of that position? Rabbi Meir, that is authored by Rabbi Meir, D'Tanya, or D'Tnan. We have a Mishnah that tells us, Rabbi Meir Omer Bechad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah the Maser Be'ema, that on the first of Elul, it's Rosh Hashanah Be'ema. Gemara says, Uli Regalim Mani. In our Mishnah, when it says that the Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, who is the author of that position? Rabbi Shimoni. That's Rabbi Shimon who says that you have to have them in order. You know, the only reason you would need a Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim is if you require them to be in order. Then you need to know when is the beginning. So that must be authored by Rabbi Shimon. Ema Seifa. And then later on in our Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Amrim Bechad B'Tishrei. They argue on Rabbi Meir and say that Maaser Be'ema, Rosh Hashanah, is Echad B'Tishrei, the same as Rosh Hashanah for the Din. So Gemara says, Reisha V'Seifa Rabbi Shimon. The beginning and the end of Rabbi Shimon, meaning the Regalim, is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Aleph Tishrei is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Umitziyato, in the middle, you have the case of Echad Be'elul, that's written in the name of Rabbi Meir. So why do you have positions of multiple Tanaim that are found in the Mishnah? I'm Rabbi Yosef. This is similar to what we saw at the beginning of Beitza, which is Rabbi Hi. The Mishnayot were organized by Rabbi. V'nosiv la'aliba de Tanai. And he put it together based on the Tanaim that he thought were correct in these positions. So in one thing he holds like Rabbi Shimon, one thing he holds like Rabbi Meir. So it doesn't bother us that there are multiple quote-unquote authors to the Mishnah, because there's only one author or one misader, organizer of a redactor of the Mishnayot, and that's Rabbi. And when he put it together, he put in Rabbi Shimon here, he put in Rabbi Meir here. That's fine. So Regalim, sever like Rabbi Shimon. In the Regalim, he holds like Rabbi Shimon that you have to have them in order to violate Baal Te'acher. Maser Be'ema, sever like Rabbi Meir. In Maser Be'ema, he thinks Rabbi Meir is right that Rosh Hashanah, the Maser Be'ema, is Echad Be'elul. Mar says, Ihochi, now you have a problem. Because our Mishnah starts out with Arba'a Rosh Hashanim Heim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs in the year. But if you think Rabbi really is the combination of the position Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, Chamisha Avu, then you have five Rosh Hashanim now. Because if you think about it in the Mishnah, we had Echad bin Nisan. We have Tedvav bin Nisan, which is the Regalim. You then have Echad be'Elul. Then you have Echad be'Tishrei. And then you have Echad be'Shvat or Tu be'Shvat. So that'll turn out to be five items. Now, according to Rabbi Meir himself, or Rabbi Shimon himself, there are only four. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, then you have Aleph Nisan, Tedvav Nisan, Aleph Tishrei, and then Aleph or Tedvav Bishvat. Because he doesn't think that Aleph Be'elul is Maser Be'ema. And Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says that you're over Baal Techer after the first Regel. So he doesn't have a Rosh Hashanah Regalim. So he has Aleph Nisan, he has Aleph Elul, Aleph Tishrei, and then Aleph Shvat or Tu Bishvat. So he has four. So Rabbi Shimon by himself, his own opinion is four. Rabbi Meir by himself is also four, because their opinions are mutually exclusive in some of these items. But Rabbi, who's taking the combination of them, he should actually turn out with five Rosh Hashanim, because he thinks Tedvav ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah. He also thinks Rosh Chodesh Elul is also a Rosh Hashanah. So Rava, Arba'a, the Divrei HaKol. Arba'a means, according to everyone, there's at least four Rosh Hashanimim. The Rabbi Meir, Arba'a, Dal Regalim. For Rabbi Meir, there are four, because he doesn't include Rosh Hashanah the Regalim, which is on Tedvav ben Nisan. Rabbi Shimon Arba'a, he has the Regalim, because he requires them in order of Tedvav ben Nisan, but Dal Maser Be'ema. But he doesn't think Echad Be'elul is Rosh Hashanah the Maser Be'ema. He thinks it's Echad B'Tishrei, which is already mentioned in the Mishnah. So each one of them has four. So that's the Rava's suggestion, that the reason he writes four is because that's Muskam Lakol. Everybody believes there's a minimum of four Rosh Hashanim. Yet Rabbi, when he combines their opinions, gets to five. Rav Nachman Ba'yizag Amar, Arba'a Chodoshim, Uve'em Kama Rosh Hashanim. There are 4 months in which all these Rosh Hashanim turn out. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, when you have Nisan, Aleph Nisan and Tetvav Nisan are both in that month. So according to Rabbi now, when he takes and says four, he means that Nisan has Rosh Hashanah in it. It has it on the 1st. It also has it on the 15th. Now you have also Echad Be'elul and Echad Be'Tishrei, and then Shvat, either Echad or Tu B'Shvat. So that's the answer. The question really is five, but there are 4 months that contain all of them. So when it says Meitavei, Shisha Asar B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Omer. The 16th of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the Omer. That's the day that you bring the Kurban Omer as Matir Chadash in the Gvulin. Shisha B'Sivan, Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. The 6th of Sivan is the Rosh Hashanah for the Shtei Alechem, meaning it's the Rosh Hashanah of Chadash in the Mikdash. So you have two more Rosh Hashanahs here. Now, once you've done that, the Rovo, according to Rovo, you should have at least 6 Rosh Hashanim now, because you just added up 2 more. Ul Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who says it's according to the months, Litnei Chamisha, you added another month here of Sivan. Your Omer is captured in Nisan, you're right. But Sivan is a new month. So their answers are somewhat difficult once you introduce this Braita as well. Some Rav Papa. Rav Papa gives a different answer, but his different answer also helps us to answer the question that we just posed, Rav Nachman Yitzchak and Rav, and he says, Kechachoshim Ar Tana, when he enumerates the number of Rosh Hashanim, Mide Dechal Meurta, he only counts things that start from the night before. Mide Delo Chayal Meurta, things that don't start from the night before, Lo Kechachoshim, he does not count. With regards to the Omer, the Kravat Omer is during the day of the 16th, and the Shtei Alechem is on the day of Shavuot. So since both those are during the day, and they're only Matir after they're brought on the day, they're not counted as Rosh Hashanim in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is only talking about things that start from the moment that date comes in. It's Rosh Hashanah. That's what's enumerated in our Mishnah. Where it says, Hare Regalim, Delo Chayle Meorta. What about the Regel that doesn't start the night before? When we're talking about the Regel, we're talking about bringing Korbanot. Korbanot can only be brought during the day. So if that's the case, why are you talking about from the night before? V'kachoshiv, and it's counted in our Mishnah. Gemara says, Kevin Shetzarech Le'tuyeh Mi'ikara. Kevin Shetzarech Le'tuyeh Mi'ikara Mi'chayeh V'koi. Since he was already supposed to bring the Korban, then Mi'chayeh V'koi, it starts now. So what Rashi explains here, and Rashi's explanation is difficult, when you layer over that the explanation of Tosafot, it becomes much easier to understand. Rashi says that when you had to bring the Korban, you're in violation of bringing the Korban, because you didn't bring it till now. Now, once you hit the Regel, that's what causes the violation. But the Regel is the end of the time that you can bring it. So Rashi says that point already starts when you come into the night. As soon as the Regel begins, that's when the Regel is counted from. The fact that you can't bring a Korban then, that's not relevant, because you were supposed to bring the Korban before now. The problem with Rashi's explanation is that we saw before already in the position of Rabbi Meir, and it's true in the other positions, that you're not in violation of the Regel until you complete the entire Regel. You're only in violation once you finish the Regel. It's not at the beginning of the Regel that you're in violation. You have to go through the whole Regel and not bring it. Then you're in violation. So how can you say over here that it starts from the night and that you should have brought it before and you didn't bring it? Now you're in violation starting then. So Tosafot layers on explanation and says, now what Rashi's telling you is, when does the Regel count? The Regel counts for you if you took the neder prior to that Regel. If you took the neder prior to that Regel, then the entire Regel will count for you, even though you can't bring the Korban at night. If you take the neder at night, on the first night of the Regel, then that Regel won't count against you in the count for Baal Tacher, because you're already into the Regel. Since you're already into the Regel, because at night, even though you can't bring Korbanot, still, the Regel came, and now your obligation started. Since your obligation wasn't there prior to the Regel, therefore you're not Chayav. But if you took the neder on Erev Yom Tov, and then you entered into the Regel, that Regel will count. So from the start of the Regel, from that nighttime, that's the point at which the transition happens to whether you are violating Baal Tacher for this Regel, crossing over this Regel, or not in violation of Baal Tacher for this Regel, because you'll get 3 more besides this one, or Rabbi Shimon, however many more you need to get into the right order. So that's the explanation here. That's what's the Regalim. Regalim is not about the Akravata Korban. It's about when the Regel starts. That's the cutoff. That's the cutoff for whether you're included in this Regel or not included in this Regel. Gemara says, "Very yovlot, delo chayli meorta." What about the yovel? The yovel that is mentioned, it has to blow the shofar in Beitin, which is during the daytime, to set off the yovel. And the sifra, Torat Kohanim says in the last week's parsha, Parshat Bahar, that without the blowing of the shofar, there is no yovel. There's a machloket there, whether it has to be shiluach chavadim or blowing the shofar. One of those is makev. If you don't do it, there is no yovel. So here Gemara says that's done during the daytime. So now if that does, that only happens during the day. The kachoshim, and you mentioned in our Mishnah. Gemara says, that's Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. That position in our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Damar, Rosh Hashanah Chayo Yovel. That the effective date of Yovel is actually from Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is blown on Yom Kippur. The Beit Din does the declaration on Yom Kippur. But that's retroactive to the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That year is a Yovel year, and it starts from Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't start from Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is just when the mitzvot are done, but that sets it in motion retroactively back to Rosh Hashanah. So the truth is that it really starts at night. This is just the actions that trigger it retroactively to start at night, and that's why it's mentioned in our Mishnah. Shisha breder of Idi Amar, ki kachoshiv midei de lo tali b'maseh. Our Tana only mentions things that have to do with action or activity. Midei de tali, de lo tali b'maseh. Only actions or activities that have nothing to do with human input. So it's a Rosh Hashanah automatically, no matter what you do. Versus midei de tali b'maseh lo kachoshiv. Things that require human input or human action that he doesn't mention. So that's why he leaves out the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, because the Omer and Shtei Alechem require you to bring a korban. And it says, Varei Regalim. Regalim, the reason that you're in violation of Baal Tacher is because there's human involvement there. Mar says, Mide Tali B'maseh V'Kachoshiv. That has to do with you bringing korbanot, and it's counted. Mar says, what do you mean? Baal Tacher Memeila Chayil. The Isser here is that you didn't bring it. It's a Shev Al Taseh, that you sit and do nothing. You're passive and don't bring the korban, and that's why you're in violation of Baal Tacher. Since you're in violation of Baal Tacher by being passive, there is no maaseh here. If you did a maaseh, you wouldn't have been in violation. So that's why it's counted in our Mishnah. Vari Yovlot. Again, what about Yovel? You have to blow the shofar to set the Yovel in motion. My answer is the same way it did before, which is it's Rabbi Yisroel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, and Brokahi. Tosafot questions why the Gemara has to do this. We already established that that's his position here. Why does the Gemara answer that again? But here it's a new Amora, so they're just going through his whole view. And they mention again that it's this Tana, who says that Yovel starts at Rosh Hashanah retroactively from the blowing of the shofar on Yom HaKippurim. Ravashi Amar Arba Roshei Ashanim Heim Shehein Barba Roshei Chodashim. The reason that our Mishnah only mentions four, even though there are many more than that, is because our Mishnah is only talking about Rosh Hashanah that also coincides with Rosh Chodesh. So what are those? Bechad v'Shavat Kebet Shemai? Man says, wait a minute, what are those four? Echad b'Nisan, Echad b'Elul, Echad b'Tishrei, and then Echad b'Shvat. If you do that, then you're saying that the Stam part of the Mishnah in the beginning is according to Beit Shammai. So if that's the case, why would you do that? Why would you make a Stam Mishnah, the number that's enumerated in the beginning, according to the position of Beit Shammai? Where it says, Achi Gamar, Shlosha L'divrei HaKol. Everybody holds there are at least three Rosh Hashanahs that fall out on Rosh Chodesh. Bechad b'Shvat, on the first of Shvat, Machloka Beit Shammai u'Beit Hillel. So the Mishnah starts out, there's a minimum of three, there is four, but you'll take a look and you'll see that that's a Machloka Beit Shammai u'Beit Hillel. Now, as Rashi and Tosafot point out over here, it's not so clear. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, there aren't a minimum of three. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Rosh Hashanahs that are mentioned here are Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Then there's Tevav B'Nisan, which doesn't qualify. It's not Rosh Chodesh. Then there's Echad B'Tishrei that does qualify. And then according to Beit Hillel, in Rabbi Shimon, there would be Tevav B'Shvat. It would be the 15th of Shvat. So there's only two according to Rabbi Shimon. So the way Rashi answers the question and says that that's Ela Beit Hillel Kai. It's going on according to the Shita of Beit Hillel. So according to Beit Hillel, there's a minimum of three. And that's what the three is meant here. It's not in Rabbi Shimon's opinion, not in Rabbi Meir's opinion. It's just in Beit Hillel's opinion, there are three. And if you add in Beit Shammai, then it's four. Tosafot solves the problem and says, no, the Mishnah is not according to Rabbi Shimon, but rather it's like Rabbi Meir. Because this won't work according to Rabbi Shimon to say there's a minimum of three. That's not true. According to Rabbi Meir, there is a minimum of three. He has Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he has Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Those are three minimum. Then if you add in Shvat, you get to four. So Tosafot says Shloshal Divrei HaKol is in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Whereas Rashi says that's in the Shita of Beit Hillel. And then in the four we get to by including also the Shita of Beit Shammai. Okay, we'll stop over here.